Cool. So like we said, this is the real world. And before we tell you a little bit what that really is about, we're going to leave you hanging for a sec and get some ads going. So we'll be back in a second.
Mark your calendar for February 29th, 2024, because the Study and Go Abroad Fair is coming to Vancouver at the Vancouver Convention Center. Don't miss this free opportunity to start planning your next step in education at the undergraduate or postgraduate level, or to travel abroad. Meet with top universities, graduate schools, and professional schools from Canada and around the world to learn about the university and college programs on offer, scholarships, as well as travel, work, and volunteer opportunities worldwide. To learn more or to register for free, please visit studyandgoabroad.com and join us February 29th at the Vancouver Convention Center.
Wrestling fans, let's get ready to rumble!
Boom Pro Wrestling is coming to you live from the Great Hall at the Nest on Friday, March 22nd. Wrestling maniacs of all ages are welcome to watch these talented fighters duke it out at UBC. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and bell time is at 7:30 sharp. Enjoy the cash bar as you cheer on your favorite players. Visit BoomProWrestling.com to purchase your tickets. And hurry, because this event is sure to be a knockout. Don't miss Boom Pro Wrestling at UBC campus on March 22nd.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is ours!
Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we!
Tune in to Viva Poru, el ungüento para el alma, every other Thursday at 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja. And the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Featuring music genres like
salsa, sabrosura vintage, bolero, bossa, Latin indie, plus so much more.
Contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for newly found llama obsession.
Kelalalelum is an urban indigenous health and wellness cooperative in Vancouver's downtown east side. Taking a decolonized approach to healthcare, Kelalalelum aims to partner indigenous elders with physicians and allied health professionals to provide culturally informed physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual care to our community members. You can join us in helping to decolonize healthcare and supporting members of the downtown east side by sharing our story or providing single, monthly, or annual donations. Head over to our website, kailalalelum.ca, or Instagram at kailalalelum to learn more or donate.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to tell you what our show's about now. Yeah. There is a little teaser, but this is the real world. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. So pretty much the real world. You might have not listened to us. If you're a regular Wednesday night 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. listener, you might be a little shocked right now.
Yeah, this is strange. This is really ordinary.
You don't know these voices, two teenage girls. But Yeah, we're only here for one time, so if you're not into it, don't worry. We're usually on every other Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. But today we lucked out. We got the most, some say, most sought-after slot in radio.
To fight tooth and nail for this 9 to 10 p.m. slot.
We wanted it initially, but we couldn't get it. We've got it for one time and one time only.
Exactly.
So if you are into our show, tune in normally every other Thursday from 4 to 5. We're the UBC Film Society's radio segment. We talk about a lot of things movie related. So don't miss us. By the way, I'm Lily.
I'm Emma.
And we're your hosts. By the way, Film Sock, we don't just have a radio show. We've got a lot of other events going on, and you can usually check them out on our Instagram account is where we post about them, which is at UBC Film Society. If you don't have Instagram in this day and age, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Like I said, we've got screenings. We usually have a double feature each week and then some like little special things. The one I want to highlight this week is on Friday, we're screening Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind standalone. It's not a double feature. It deserves its own spot. It's screening at 7:15, one of my favorite films. You can go see it at The Norm. The Norm is in the Life Building. If you don't know what The Norm is at this point in your life, I don't know what you're doing. Anyway, we're going to get a bit more into what we're talking about on this episode of The Real World. We've been wanting to do this episode for a while.
Yeah, a long time coming.
A long time. A lot of planning, a lot of stuff's gone into it. It all started when I was thinking about theaters. I was going to my local theaters and I was like, why am I at the Dunbar? This historical, this great event space, it's a part of Vancouver. And I would be going to the theater and there'd be like two other people.
Yeah.
Sad time to be alive. Theaters are empty. And basically the whole premise of the show is trying to convince you to go to theaters. So yeah, we're going to be talking about the movie theater experience. We're going to give our opinions on a few things that no one asked our opinion on. But yeah, we're just talking about what it's like going to a theater. Feeling like you need to go to the theater. It's a new feeling, like since streaming websites are a thing, like Netflix, Crave, Prime, I don't know, we've all got them. It's not the same thing it used to be, like feeling like you need to go to the theater as like a social thing. Everyone was going to the cinema, whatever, whatever. if a filmmaker or producer or whatever distributor is trying to have that effect of making people feel like they need to go to the theater, it's a harder job than, I don't know. I think it's a harder job than it was when like it was a given. If you wanted to see a movie, you had to go to the theater, but that's just not the case anymore. So there's more having to happen with advertising or starting a trend with your movie, hoping that something like goes famous to like make people feel like they have to see it in theater. Exactly. They can't wait until it gets on streaming because it's not a part of our culture anymore. Like at least it doesn't feel like it, but some movies do make it feel like it's a part of our culture to go to the movie theater, which is a pretty special thing. We're going to talk about a couple movies that like we feel are kind of like, they scream out at you, like, you've got to see this in theater. And then also just some of our, like, random favorite movie theater experiences, I guess. But yeah, I thought we should start off with just kind of a given. Movies that, like, so obviously, I would hope most people agree with, are just that much better in theater. And, like, arguably any movie's better in theater. I would argue that horror is not better in theater. I would so much rather watch a scary movie on my laptop so that I can pause
breaks,
it.
Yeah.
Like psychological thrillers, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'd rather take breaks. But also, that takes away literally the entire effect and what the genre is trying to achieve. So I don't know. Emma's our horror kind of that kind of interest person.
Yeah.
You think it's better in theater?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you get the full effect of it.
Okay, whatever. Okay, but seriously, no questions asked. In my opinion, you've got to see it so much better on the big screen than like on your phone in bed or like on a computer.
Exactly.
Movies with music.
Yes.
So this is like concert films. And then I was also just thinking like musicals.
Yeah.
The one I was thinking about first, I haven't seen a lot of concert films, honestly.
No, me neither. I've only seen one. That's what I'm talking
okay
about
well
today.
I've kind of got like into the research a little bit about it. So cool. Like I want to watch more concert films.
They seem like such a good time. Like the one I saw, I was like, yeah, this is so much fun. I do this more often.
Like it feels like you're in a concert.
Yeah,
because you're right up close. But there's nothing like waiting in line in the cold or like, I don't know, people like screaming next to you.
Exactly.
That's something we'll get into later. Opinions on singing in a movie theater.
Oh.
But yeah, in theory, you're in a movie theater. It's not like people screaming in your ear next to you. You're enjoying the artist. You're enjoying the show. But in the comfort of a movie theater chair. Exactly. And maybe with some snacks.
You can't, popcorn.
Yeah, you can't really do that at a regular concert. And that's not to say, like, don't go to the concert. Just wait till it comes out with a concert film. But it's kind of nice. It's got its own appeal. I was first thinking about it. I just saw the Taylor Swift The Eras Tour movie. Like, it just came out in 2023.
Yeah.
Last year. I'm not, like, a crazy Taylor Swift fan. I've, like, only kind of got into her catalog of music recently because one of my roommates really into her. And I am going to the actual Eras Tour.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, it's coming to Vancouver, I don't know, like later this year. And
that's crazy.
I'm going. Like, I'm just starting to plan to become a fan. If any like fans are listening who didn't get a ticket, please don't come at me. I'm planning to become a fan by the time it's the Eras Tour. Start
training now.
Yeah. We've all done it when you buy a ticket to like a random, or like your friend takes you to a concert and you have to like binge study the songs and try to memorize the music. Yeah, so I'm just like, okay, I have all summer to learn Taylor Swift.
Oh, awesome. Okay. That's solid.
That's solid. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I saw the movie and I'm becoming a fan. Huh. So this film is like directed by Sam Wrench and it follows Taylor Swift with footage of performances from her 2023 concert tour. The movie's almost 3 hours long. They actually had to cut a few songs because they didn't want it to be a full 3 hours, which I'm kind of glad they did. I mean, I was entertained, but 3 hours is a lot for any movie for me. And I saw it in the Dunbar Theater. Yeah, there was two other people in the theater, which I guess like you kind of, it would kind of be a little bit more fun to go with people who are fans. Like I was thinking about like, there's the huge Justin Bieber concert.
Yeah.
Documentary.
Believer or like one or whatever.
Yeah. And then like the Beyonce one. Mm-hmm. Well, all of these artists I feel like have multiple concert films. But still, either way, it's kind of fun to go with other fans. It was kind of nice to have an empty theater, but whatever. This film went crazy though. It earned about $180 million in North America since it debuted in October. In its first week, it had a global gross of $123.5 million. It's like actually number one in history concert films highest grossing.
That's crazy.
Out of any, and like the Justin Bieber one's up there, the Beyonce one is up there, like the big Beyonce one, this the big Michael Jackson one, like those ones are there. Yeah. But this one's number one.
Yeah, no, this one like blew the box office apart.
Yeah, so I'm glad I saw it in theater. Did you see it?
No.
No. Are you against Taylor Swift? Do you hate her or something?
No, I don't hate Taylor Swift. I just haven't listened to like any of her music. And I think it came out at the same time as a bunch of other stuff.
Yes.
I'm watching those instead.
It did come out at a bunch at the same time as a bunch of other stuff. Did you hear about The Exorcist Believer?
I did hear about like the like they were trying to spin like a double feature with
Yes. It was supposed to release the exact same day.
Oh my gosh.
But then to like basically yield to the competition that the Eras Tour movie was, they moved their date 1 week earlier.
Wow.
Because of that. Because of which Eras is so Tour. Funny. Like, we've seen this kind of stuff. We'll talk more about Barbenheimer later. But there is that stuff of they asked Barbie to move its release date so that it wouldn't be competition. Like, it's still a big enough deal for things to come out in theaters that they're trying to avoid competition or make it some sort of phenomenon.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was crazy that they saw that it was coming out and they just were like, okay.
Move the whole thing.
Let's just move it. It's Taylor, guys. Yeah. It's obvious that we've got to make this change. The other crazy thing about this film that was kind of incredible was that the deals for its release were made directly with theaters. Mm-hmm. So it bypassed all studios and distributors. It was right with theaters, which is a pretty cool thing. To think that that can start happening, I don't hear about that happening a lot, yeah, no, that there's just no distributor involved. It's just like Taylor Swift and her guys and the theater.
That's crazy.
But that, I don't know. It could be cool for like smaller stuff too, if that's a possibility, like more indie things to just go straight to theaters instead of going through distributors. So that was kind of cool. Anyway, it was great to see it on the big screen. And I was just thinking to myself, like, not even on a TV would this be as cool because you're getting this live performance. experience, basically. Mm-hmm. But you're on the stage with the performer. Yeah. Like, it's not even like... This is not better than seeing her or any other artist live. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you're in the audience and you're watching, like, big screens. Like, the big screens they have beside the stage.
Yeah.
It's closer than that. Like, you can see every facial expression. Yeah. Like, the shots are such high quality. Mm-hmm. You can see everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, showcases a really cool perspective right on stage with the artist. And it's not, yeah, it's not better than the concert. But I don't know. Concert films are becoming crazy.
Yeah, they're kind of going insane.
Yeah. And it just is cool to feel like you're on the stage, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I was in awe afterwards that it feels like you're really there and you're up close to all of the movements of every part of the set. And this concert film was a whole production. Like, it's pretty known, I guess, now, where I at least learned from watching it, that her concerts are like, there's full sets.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just her and her guitar anymore. So it feels kind of the most comparable to, like, any other just random movie you'd see in theater, because she's moving through sets, she's doing all these costume changes, like, so many costume changes. So it's incredible to see it. Do you want to talk about, what was the one that you saw, the concert film?
I saw the concert film for Stop Making Sense, which is the Talking Heads concert film, and I didn't see it in theaters, but I wish I did. This is one of those films that I watched it in my friend's basement over break. And oh my God, like, even as I was watching, I was like, this would go crazy in a theater. Like, I know in Melbourne, the Astor Theater has been having a Stop Making Sense dance party every January since 2016.
Oh my God.
Which is so crazy.
You would be there. You'd be there every time. Oh yeah,
I will pull up to Melbourne for the Stop Making Sense.
Okay.
Yeah. But
that's so fun. That's actually such a good idea. Bring that to Vancouver if you're listening. Anyone who's in charge of that.
Stop Making Sense. I guess I'll give you a bit of background. It is a 1984 film by Jonathan Demme that recently was kind of redone by A24. And actually, to find the original negatives for this film, they employed a forensic film expert to hunt down these negatives that were just, like, in
that's
a warehouse
job?
In Oklahoma. Yeah,
forensic
apparently.
Film expert?
Yeah, yeah. New career path, maybe.
Yeah, you know, should we kind of pursue that?
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Okay.
But and this is, like, it's a very fun, very snappy, just concert film of the Talking Heads. And, like, going in, I knew very few, if any, Talking Heads songs.
Okay.
But I had such a great time with this film. It was so much fun. And I think you could tell, like, even, like, the band members are just having so much fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of talked about, like, throughout kind of this idea of losing yourself to something bigger than yourself, like a concert or like a movie or something like that.
Right.
And I think, there's a really interesting intersection between concerts and movies that we see happening, especially with concert films. It's like, oh, okay, this is something that can intersect and that can work together.
Yeah.
And so when this, like, film released, like, audience treated it like a concert, like, in 1984. They would get up and they would clap between songs. And this concert film, it kind of catered to that, because there's not very many backstage interviews. They're like, oh, they're about to go on. They're talking to the camera. And there's not very many audience shots. So it feels like you're there. Like, you're watching David Byrne dance around in his big suit.
Exactly.
With his little, like, lamp. And it's very, like, immersive. And so they filmed this this concert over 4 days at the Pantages Theater in Los Angeles. So the band was actually encouraged to wear neutral clothing so that the discrepancies wouldn't show up as well. But the drummer, Chris France, hadn't gotten his clothes back from the laundry. So we had to wear this neon turquoise polo shirt.
That was the only other thing.
That was his only other option, apparently. Is he was like, oh, my white shirts. All I got is my turquoise polo, I guess.
Obviously, but we've all got one.
So I think, he orchestrated it. He just wanted to wear that turquoise polo on
That's
stage.
That's so funny. It becomes iconic, I guess, to the film.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else is kind of just able to lay low, but he's there.
He's there in his turquoise and polo, banging out on the drums.
Neon. That's so funny. Wait, on the topic of the getting up, clapping, I know you watched it in the basement. Were you guys singing, clapping along? I guess it was a bit of your introduction, though, to the...
There was definitely some finger tapping.
Okay.
We're definitely,
which is okay in a basement.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about it in a theater?
In a theater. Yeah, I think concert films kind of have a bit of different film etiquette than standard films.
Yeah.
I think. But, because, like, yeah, if you're watching, like, a musical, if you're out seeing, like, Wonka or something, maybe it's not the move to be standing up and singing along yeah. with Timothée Chalamet. But with concert films, I think there's definitely that space for it. You know? It's like, it's like a stand-in for a concert. So I think there is that kind of culture around it that should kind of be embraced, I think.
I agree. I think it should be embraced. I've heard some opinions about, because the Taylor Swift one specifically would be like, you saw the things of people getting up and going to the front of the theater and like dancing in a circle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was definitely like singing along when I could in my seat.
Mm-hmm.
Like head moving, you know, maybe some clapping and stuff like that. But I've heard some people get pretty upset that like people were dancing up in the front. It's not like they're blocking the screen.
Yeah.
But like it could be maybe a bit distracting if a bunch of people are dancing in a circle at the front. But at the same time, yeah, it's a stand-in for a concert. Like,
yeah.
If that's what they would be choosing to do during the concert, I don't know. Like, maybe it's okay in the theater.
Yeah. No, you know, it's as long as you're not, like, tearing the theater apart.
I think you should be able to dance. Like, that's what the thing is. Like, that's what it's made for. That's what the concert's for.
That's part of the fun of being in a theater. Otherwise, you're just, like, at home and, like, Taylor Swift.
I know. And I think people are just uptight because, it's usually not acceptable in other circumstances in a theater. At a concert, it's fine. People who haven't seen a concert film might be like, I'm usually in the cinema and we're all kind of sitting side by side very quietly enjoying the film. But also that doesn't happen all the time either because people are sometimes really annoying in theaters.
God, are they ever.
I know we're supposed to be kind of, well, at least we want to be encouraging people to go to theaters. But if you're the type of person who is extremely judgmental and also easily bothered, like possibly us, people get so annoying, like just like chewing sometimes is annoying.
Yeah.
When you're like, I could have been in my bed watching this when it comes out in a couple weeks or a month or something.
Oh, yeah.
But instead there's teenagers making out behind me and there's people eating their like movie theater nachos next to me. I don't know. Sometimes it's a bit much.
Oh yeah. Inevitably someone's on like Instagram full brightness in front of you.
You know what? And that's the worst.
Yeah.
All of those things, eating food, making out, all those things are really annoying.
Let's let.
You can let it slide because that's kind of like some sort of rite of passage. I don't know what rite of passage it is, but, you know, it happens. Being on your phone during a movie?
Oh my, you paid money to be there.
The disrespect. We paid money to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah, throw your money down the drain by, I don't even know, buy the ticket and then stay home.
Yeah.
I hate when people are on their phones.
That's the worst.
Ugh. Or like if you go with a friend, have you ever been with a friend and they're the one who checks their phone?
Oh my God, have you?
It's happened. Like checking the time or something. It's not the time to check the time.
Yeah. No, oh my God. That would be like friendship ending for me, I think. Like that's devastating.
It is. Show some respect.
Like going with the watch, you know, if you're going to be like, I need to check the time.
Even that is just like, okay, that's a little bit like obnoxious of you to be checking your watch. Sometimes it's understandable. Like I'm not a fan of 3.5 hour long movies either. But bring in an old-fashioned watch. We're bringing watches back.
Yeah.
No Apple watches. No phones.
Good old-fashioned. Got a face with little hands.
Yeah, this is an ad for watches. Yeah.
We're actually sponsored by every watch.
Every watch.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. People are pretty annoying in theaters. What do you think of... Okay, wait. One other complaint before we get there. How do you feel about leaving before the credits?
Leaving before the credits... I can't say I've ever done it personally. I will always grit my teeth and bear it, if only because I want to be a comprehensive hater.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. If I don't like a film, I am going to MLA format tell you why I didn't like that.
Yes.
But I think as long as you do it in a way that's not disruptive, like, it's your money, you know, get on out of there. But if you're like, if you are in the middle of a row and it's packed either side, you got to accept your fate.
And you're making people stand up so that you can get out, like, that's so ridiculous. How much time is it going to take out of your life to just...
sit and watch.
Yeah. We're all in such a rush these days. Like, we need to, I don't know, relax. Also, it's just not, my thesis is that it's not classy. Mm-hmm. We need to respect the filmmakers. People put hard work into that. We need to sit and watch. And even if you didn't like it, when someone asks, why didn't you like it? You should be able to, yeah, cite your sources.
Exactly.
Know exactly the name to drop.
Yeah, at 45 minutes and 36 seconds. Yeah, I think the cross-cutting there didn't really fit with the overall
And you know who was in
film.
Charge of cross-cutting? I know, because I stayed for the credits.
Exactly. I was out there watching, say, you did terrible, you did terrible, you did terrible.
Yes.
Every single person.
That's what we like to do, and we think you all should too. Anyway, that's our take on concert films. Take what you want out of that. There's some varying opinions, but we wanted to play a song from the Talking Heads. This is called Girlfriend is Better. The live version.
Yeah, this is the song that Stop Making Sense God's Name from, so enjoy.
Here we are.
We'll be right back.
so cool. I love that song. That was a great choice, Emma.
Thank you. Everyone go watch Stop Making Sense now.
Okay, well, I've got to be on it. I want to do some of that finger foot tapping you were talking about. Enjoying the music. On the topic of music before we move on, we just want to highlight musicals. I thought that went so well with concerts, right? Because you're going to see music. There's something about hearing it with better quality than out of your computer, better quality than off of your phone, all those types of things. Sound and image quality are just such huge things that you're gaining from going to the theater. And I feel like musicals specifically, you've got to see in theater. We were first talking about La La Land. We were thinking about it. So the first time I watched it, not in theater. I don't think I really understood it the first time, to be fair. I got it a little bit more explained to me and what it was paying homage to, like what it was taking inspiration from. So in between watching it on my computer, hearing a little bit more about it, and then seeing it in theater, it played at the Norm. Now, I love it. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Everything was better. It was so much more enjoyable. What were you talking about of just theater bias, like base level theater bias?
Theater bias? Yeah, that's automatically, I whip out Letterboxd after a theater. It could be like a mediocre movie. I'm immediately 4.5 stars in the heart. And I'll come back 2 weeks later and be like, this is not a 4.5 star and a heart situation.
But I saw it in theater.
Exactly. I'm still in that rush from like, oh my God, my life has changed. I'm walking out of the theater with a new outlook on life.
Yeah, there's nothing like walking, good or bad movie, there's nothing like stepping out of the theater into air. And just like feeling like your life was changed for better or for worse.
Actually, you step out of the theater and you're a changed person. Like,
yeah.
I'm not the same person I was one movie ago. I will say that for sure.
Yeah. And also, unless you're the type of person who walks out on movies in theaters.
Exactly.
Never have I. Actually, one time have I done
that. Really?
It wasn't my fault, though. I was horrified. I'll get to that later. But yeah, I don't. If a movie's bad, I'm not leaving. If a movie's bad and I'm watching on my computer, sometimes I'll stop and pick something else. Oh, if I'm just like 10 minutes in and I'm like, first reactions, really don't like this. A lot of the time I will stick it out. In a theater though, if it's the first 10 minutes and I don't like it, I don't care. I paid for it. I'm in the theater. Like,
I'm locked in.
We're locked in
for that 90 minutes.
That's the other thing. Not classy. Don't walk out of movie theaters. You're there. Mm-hmm. What the hell else are you doing with your time?
Hang out. Like, what are you going to do? You're just going to go like wander around a mall.
You've got
or something?
Nothing better to do. Yeah, a mall? You're just going to go to your local strip mall? Like, no, don't do that.
You budgeted time for the movie. Like, stick it out.
Stick it out. So La La Land, I thought it was so much better. Like, especially I was thinking about it. There's another connection here. If a movie is nominated and wins Best Cinematography, it's probably better to see it on a big screen. If it's literally being recognized and awarded for how good the cinematography is, 10 times better than watching it at home immediately. So it won in 2017, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Linus Sandgren, cinematographer. Shout out.
Shout out, Linus.
If you're listening, Linus, we love you. We're proud of you.
Number one fan.
Yeah, so if that's also a given. If it's got music in it, I'm kind of like, better in theaters. If it won the Oscar for best cinematography,
Probably better at theaters.
And so then I was also thinking about Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like honorable mention because it's not technically a musical, but it's the same dynamic, super iconic duo, Damien Chazelle and Justin Hurwitz, one of the most known, I guess, director-composer pairings, did both these films. And Chazelle, I was looking into it. This is not a musical, but he knew that music was going to be a driving element of Babylon. And he said, like, it always was going to be a musical without being a musical, which I thought was kind of interesting because I thought of it right away and I was like, you know what? I should mention Babylon in this musical section. I was like, Lily, Babylon was not a musical. Don't be telling the fans that. But Chazelle said it himself. Exactly. So there. He said it's a musical without being a musical. Yeah. So it's a driving part. The music is really important, I guess. And the music is great. I listen to the soundtrack all the time. And he said that he always thought that it was supposed to be a party movie. It means that there's a lot of diegetic music, and the diegetic music winds up being in dialogue with the non-diegetic music with the underscore. So all the music interacting, you can see how much thought was put into it. Not that like other scores don't have the same thought, but this is a really important part.
Significant, like, amount of thought put into it. And he always does, like, with his music, like, you got, like, Whiplash. Yeah. Absolutely. Babylon. Like, there's just such an emphasis on music in his movies that it feels like you're doing a disservice by, like, watching it on, like, your iPhone on, like, the bus or something.
Yeah, like, with, like, the music, with the sound down low, if you're not trying to bother, like, your roommates or, like, something like that. It's just better. It's better in theater. And so I wanted to play a little snippet of Singing in the Rain, which is a song that is played in Babylon, but also Singing in the Rain was just, like, a huge inspiration to Babylon. And I was kind of confused that, like, there's this scene in Babylon where all these people are, like, dressed up in jackets in front of this Noah's Ark backdrop. I'm like, I've never seen this rendition of Singing in the Rain. I only know my guy, Gene Kelly. I don't know what's happening. I looked into it. If you knew this, and this is an embarrassing thing not to know, that apparently a lot of people aren't aware of this side of Singing in the Rain. The song was put out notably first in the Hollywood Review 1929 film. And it's of these people in front of Noah's Ark singing in the rain, just singing whatever. And the beginnings of that movie and that song, that was it. It was that scene. And they put that scene of the first time Singing in the Rain came out in a film in Babylon. Because Babylon, if you don't know, is like kind of this backstage look at what Hollywood was going through at this time when sound became a thing, things like that. Anyway, so we're going to listen to Singing in the Rain because I just think it captures a lot about what we're talking about. Sound being such a big part. Singing in the Rain was huge on commentary on sound being a part of Hollywood, bringing people to the theaters, using sound as a means to get people out, like a distraction from the Great Depression, things like that. Sound as a means of drawing people to the theaters. And then it became a big part of Babylon and also just Chazelle's whole shtick. So let's listen to a bit of that. Here we go. Cute. Love that song. Singing in the Rain. Love the film. Apparently, not the first film it was used in, so we've got to get a jump on seeing The Hollywood Review, 1929. I don't know much about it, and I can't tell you much about it, but it was the first time Singing in the Rain was on film, so we got to see that. Babylon, use the song again. Go see Babylon if you haven't done that. We're moving on, though. Yeah. Musicals and concerts, cool. We got to talk about something that you just can't not talk about on an episode about going to the theater. And that's like some crazy box office movie theater phenomenons. Let's start just like the one that we're all thinking of. It happened last year, this year?
This summer. Yeah.
And that was Break the News to Us.
2023? The year?
No.
Barbenheimer.
The event, Emma.
Yeah.
The event.
Yeah.
It was Barbenheimer.
This is what 9 p.m. on a Wednesday does.
2020?
Oh, God.
It's fine because it's a leap year. Like, the leap year, I think, is messing with us.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
My marks aren't that good because
it's a leap year.
It's a leap year.
I'm blaming it all on the new year. New year, the leap year. God damn it.
It's 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. Everyone stop judging Emma. She's really disoriented. But yeah, Barbenheimer, we want to talk about it because that was crazy. That happened.
How many times did you see, like, Barbenheimer? Did you go see Barbenheimer?
I didn't do the thing. I didn't do the thing that they were all doing where they saw it on the same day.
Oh my God.
Did you do the same day thing?
I think I Barbenheimered enough for both of us.
You Did I saw Barbie. Don't tell me every time you saw, because I know how many times you saw Barbie.
Yes.
Did every time you see Barbie, you also saw Oppenheimer the same day?
I saw Barbie 4 times. I saw Oppenheimer once. But 2 of my Barbie watches were with an Oppenheimer sandwiched within. So I did like Barbie, Oppenheimer, Barbie on like one day.
What yeah. the hell? Okay, wait, break it down. So first time watching them.
I saw Barbie on a Friday with my mom and sister. I did not go to see Oppenheimer afterwards. The next Saturday, I know, rookie mistake. Saturday, I lock in. I'm at the theater at like 11.
You learn
11.
From your mistake. Yeah. I'm proud.
I'm like, I got to see Oppenheimer. I Barbie again. I'm out of the theater.
That's
by like
Saturday,
2 in the morning.
The day after you had just seen Barbie?
Yes.
Okay.
2 days later, some friends call me up. Hey, we're going to go see Barbie. I see Barbie again. No Oppenheimer following you, but I can recite this thing now.
Okay.
Barbie
4 times, Oppenheimer 4 times, once.
Oppenheimer once.
The sandwich day is crazy.
Yeah. That was kind of a brutal watch. My contacts were burning by the end of it, but.
Oh my God. I'm glad you ended off with Barbie because mm-hmm. I always said to myself, if I ever did do the double feature, yeah. I didn't. I saw Oppenheimer once on a, like just on an off random day.
Yeah.
I saw it after work too, and it was like a 9:30 p.m. screening.
That's brutal.
I was tired. To say the least, because it's a long movie. Yeah. But I saw Barbie 3 times. It's just like, if I ever did the whole thing with the 2 in 1 day, I would like to end on Barbie. Yeah. Let me tell you, I'd like to get Oppenheimer done and then...
Oh yeah, no, ending on Barbie was definitely the move. You know, you're thinking about Oppenheimer, you're like, wow, it's, you know, a lot to think about. And you go into Barbie and you're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Having a fun time, you know? Margot Robbie's killing it.
It's crazy. And people were like, were people dressed up in your theaters?
Oh my God, were they? Yeah. It was like a sea of pink. It was crazy.
Good. I love it. Did you wear pink?
Of course. You know I wore pink.
Okay. I'm just double checking. I wore pink. It was so fun. And then you like take pictures in the little thing.
Little boxes, yeah.
In the box as a little doll.
Exactly.
It's so cute. Like, and I feel like, I don't know, that hasn't happened a lot in my like, maybe earlier when I was like really little and like some really big like Marvel things were coming out and I just it wasn't in my
it wasn't wavelength
I wasn't in that mood to like you know when it was like huge lines like dress up a little bit for like big box office releases. So this was kind of like one of the first experiences I had where like everyone was going and everyone was being dressed up.
Exactly.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was like an event, you know, it wasn't just a film. Like this was like a thing. It'd be like, oh, Barbenheimer Day. Okay, I gotta book off my Saturday for Barbenheimer.
I know, and they're all saying like Barbenheimer like resurrected the theater experience.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to like copy it and like say, oh, all of these or like looking back and seeing other films in the past that came out the same day as well. There's a couple of those as well. I don't know. None of them seem to have the same effect. As people dressing up for, but some people were also dressing up for Oppenheimer, which I read was a little not super tasteful to come in costume. So we support the pink to Barbie.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was kind of funny that people were dressing up for both. It's a little bit odd. Or it became a Halloween costume too. Yeah. Like someone would dress up as Oppenheimer and someone would dress up as Barbie. I just remembered. Totally. I saw that.
Yeah.
People did that.
No, there was quite a bit of that. You know, I respect the commitment to the creativity from like Halloween.
Yeah.
It's a fun little Halloween costume.
It's always fun to go to theater and feel like it's Halloween.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was such a fun like event, honestly. And I think, you wouldn't get that with streaming. Like you could just Barbenheimer at home, but like, you're just sitting in front of a screen for like 5 or 6 hours, but like you can be sitting in front of a screen with other people who are also wearing pink and sitting in front of a screen. That's part of it, you know, like having that sort of communal shared experience.
Yeah.
Just, it's kind of like a fun little thing to do, you know, fun little outing.
Absolutely. And there's been like people hop movie theater to like a different theater in the same Cineplex or wherever you're seeing your movies, but like people weren't ever. Like, it wasn't happening in this way for any other set of movies.
Planned.
Like, yeah, it was like you're dedicating a day to it and you leave feeling accomplished.
Yeah.
You didn't watch it like in your bed on your computer, take a break for lunch. No.
No, you were locked in. You know?
You were locked in. You were probably eating candy and popcorn the whole time.
It's just you and your small popcorn against like 6 hours of Oppenheimer.
And you regret not getting a large because it's 6 hours of Oppenheimer.
I did run out of my snacks by Oppenheimer. I just had a bottle of water. So it was me and a bottle of water against a 3.5 hour movie.
That's my nightmare. That's my nightmare. I would have like actually packed a lunch, a little picnic. Yeah. I don't know. You set up for the day.
No, yeah, you're camping out. Yeah. From Barbenheimer.
I want another thing like that to happen, but I'm not sure if it's ever going to match up. I'm worried.
It's going to be hard because there's like been a few where it's like Saw Patrol or whatever. They tried to kind of manufacture it with like Saw 10 Tri-hards. And Paw Patrol. And it's like, you could never be Barbenheimer.
You literally could never. But there's been other things that people have dressed up for. The only really significant one I can remember is when everyone dressed up for like the Minion
movie. Yeah.
Was it Rise of Gru? Yeah. That everyone. Okay. And so then there's all these like, I don't know, the older generations being like, why are the TikTokers dressing up in suits? Because it doesn't really like, it's not very clear. Like, wear yellow and overalls, fine, but why is everyone wearing a suit to go see Minions?
Yeah.
There's no clear answer. No. Let me tell you. It's just a trend.
We live in an age of absurdism, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta wear a suit to Minions.
As we should. Someone just decided, no, my whole friend group, we're going to the Minion, a children's movie.
Yeah.
We're not only going to it, we're all black tie.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It was like,
and then everyone was like, genius idea. Us too. We're also gonna do that. I love that. You don't get that. You dress up at home with your friends, but it's lame.
Yeah, you gotta wear a suit to go sit on your couch? No.
Embarrassing. Go to the theater.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'll play a little snippet of an epic song. Sorry if this stresses you out because you also watched Oppenheimer. I listened to a little bit when I was like making the playlist for this episode. It stressed me out a little bit, let me tell you. Here's Can You Hear the Music? Maybe like a really intense part of the film, but we'll give a snippet. That's a lot. That's a lot for 9 p.m. on a Wednesday.
9 p.m. on a Wednesday.
This is what 9 p.m. on a Wednesday is like. That was from Oppenheimer, if I didn't explain that well enough. It's called Can You Hear the Music? It's Ludwig Göransson.
Shout out him.
Shout out him. Don't know if I said your name right, but shout out to you. But yeah, basically, if you're jumping on at the end of our segment, let me really quickly tell you, you're listening to The Real World, and this is CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about things we love to see in theaters, things that are more fun to see in theaters than on your screen at home, because we're movie lovers and we support our local our local Cineplex, even though it's a Cineplex, but also like support your little indie theaters.
Support your local indie
the
theaters,
little one
guys.
Room guys.
Yeah.
Stick up for the little guys. That's what we're here for. But yeah, we just talked about Barbenheimer and Minions, some crazy stuff. We're big film gurus. You might have never heard of those ones.
Yeah, they're pretty underground.
Pretty underground. We like the alt stuff. Let's move in. Just some quick anecdotes. We've all had our best and worst theater experiences.
Yeah.
Rapid fire. Give us one of your best. Do you have a really good one or a really bad one?
I have more really bad ones than I do really good ones, but I will start. I'll start you with a really good one.
Okay,
you know,
yay.
Start off on a good note. Really good one I had when Avengers Endgame came out. Man, I was deep into that. Like, I was, like, opening night. I drove across the city.
Yes.
I was, like, I fought for weeks to get tickets. And I was there. I was in it. And everyone was so into it. And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is what movies are about. That, and it was just, yeah. like, you know, you walk out of the theater and you're like, yeah. Like, we went through something together.
Yes.
Like, you know,
I'm emotionally connected to each and every one of you who sat through that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was just like, yeah, it's one of those.
But I love that.
Yeah, you know, that's one of my only
favorites. Okay, so do you want to take us down a notch and give us something yeah. depressing or, like, sad? I don't know.
This is just sort of ironic. I went to go see Avatar: The Way of Water
okay.
in theaters, and mm-hmm. this was when it came out, December. So it was, I saw it in Calgary, and it was freezing cold, like, probably minus 40.
Ugh.
And this comes in later. I'm not just complaining about the weather. We're about a quarter of the way through, maybe a bit more, maybe close to half. You know, I'm locked in. I didn't really like the movie after I finished it, but I was like, okay, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm here. I am dedicated. James Cameron, I'm showing up.
Yes.
Then halfway through, the pipes burst and the theater flooded. So
Was it a Cineplex?
It was a Cineplex. So I didn't get to finish
Check yourself, Cineplex.
Exactly. But yeah, because it got so cold, the pipes frozen burst.
That's crazy. And this is in Calgary.
This is in Calgary. I also...
My actual god.
Yeah, a year later, I got pepper sprayed directly, indirectly pepper sprayed at the same
in
theater.
Calgary.
Yeah,
what's going on there, guys? They've got to figure themselves
yeah.
out.
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Take that off my bucket list. Jeez, I hate it. Exactly. No, I'm just kidding. I love it. Love Calgary. Shout out.
Calgary.
Shout out. That's really horrible. I think I'd be very mad at it. Which one were you more mad at?
Honestly, I was more mad at the flooding, because I sunk so much time into it. I was like, okay,
that's unexpected. You would think the pepper spray would,
you know, I was done the movie. It was A Boy in the Hair, and me and my friend were just out of it. We walked into a cloud of pepper spray, and I was like, this might as well happen, you know. At least we did the movie.
Honestly, like, at least you can say you've kind of been pepper sprayed.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun fact.
Yeah,
next icebreaker fun fact.
Oh, it's been my icebreaker.
Oh, good.
I meet people, I'm like, hey, do you know I got pepper sprayed?
Yeah, they're either gonna eat that right up or immediately think you're a little bit weird.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
So what? That's how you weed them out.
Exactly.
Did I allude to this earlier? The only time I've walked
yes.
out of a movie.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah.
Was in 2012, which how old was I in 2012? I was like maybe 7 or 8. Huh? I think I was around 8, which is a little bit embarrassing because 8 is at an age where maybe you don't need to, like, leave and be held by your mom crying from a movie. But my family went to see Les Mis in 2012, like, as our Christmas Day movie. Like, we always go to yeah. see, like, whatever's kind of coming out around Christmas on Christmas.
Yeah.
I was horrified. And I've never watched it since. Yeah. I don't really know, like, what it's super about. Like, it's literally just, like, revolution, like,
yeah,
war kind of. Like, that, yeah. in theory, like, maybe if I was like 5 or 4 and they took me to see that, upsetting. 8 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember what like was so devastating you had to leave?
I think it was just like, I don't know, like the death, the
yeah.
prison type. I don't know.
It is crazy. They're
chained up.
Dropping dead in that.
Yeah. So I was horrified. I walked right out sobbing. My mom missed the entire movie. She was just like sitting with me in her lap the entire rest of the thing. Only time I've walked out of a movie though, and I'm pretty proud that that's the
yeah.
only time, because.
No, that's good. You know, it's a solid however many years.
Yeah. Since. And I couldn't control it because, yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to be a huge nuisance during the movie, that's the one time that maybe it's allowed to walk out.
Yeah.
I was going to be sobbing the whole time. I was so scared. Like,
exactly.
I had my hands covering my face. You know what? I'm going to rewatch it and really check myself
yeah.
on. This is not that scary.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, that was probably my worst movie going experience. But one of the, I was thinking about opening night experiences,
yeah.
and I saw when you mentioned, which one did you see opening night?
Avengers.
Avengers. Okay, well, that seems a really good thing to see opening night, I've got to say. But I've only seen, I feel like, a couple things opening night,
yeah.
but recently I saw The Hunger Games Ballad of Songbird and the Snake
yeah,
opening night. Like the first screening, like in Vancouver, like I think it was,
oh, wow.
hopefully... I think it was like the earliest one of the day, maybe the second one in
mm-hmm.
Vancouver. And it was just like, it's so fun. You rarely get to be in a theater that's packed.
Yeah.
Like, you're there with a couple other groups. There's always empty seats. But this was like, every seat was packed.
Oh, love
Everyone
it.
Is excited. They did the whole, like, someone in the audience did the whistle, like, right before, like, the do, 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 do. And I was like, yeah, These are my people.
This is what's about.
I would never do that in a movie theater, but like, I'm glad someone did. And then everyone started laughing. Like, it was just so like, oh yeah, like, I'm so emotionally connected to all you guys. Like, I'm going to miss you all after the movie.
Exactly. Forming lifetime bonds with the people in your cinema.
Yeah. So if you're like, I don't go to the movies anymore because it's not even that full anymore. It's not even like, you're not getting that social, like, community experience. Go opening night.
Yeah.
That's the hack.
Opening night is where it's at.
Almost, like, most movies will be full.
Yeah.
On opening night, hopefully.
Exactly.
Otherwise, that's kind of sucky. But, yeah. I think that was my only one that was, like, opening night, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But also, we talked about a couple other. Do you have any movies that, like, you would really like to see if on the big screen that you haven't seen on the big screen?
I think there's definitely. I talked about Stop Making Sense earlier. I would kill to see that on the big screen.
Okay, yeah.
But I think Ferris Bueller's Day Off has just been, like, one of my favorites for so long.
Yeah.
That, like, I would honestly, being able to see that on a big screen would be, like, life-altering, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, any sort of, like, nostalgic, like, movie from childhood.
That'd be so fun. I feel like there's a couple I'm waiting that I would love to play at the Norm. Because there's, like, only so many theaters. Sometimes, like, the VIF Center downtown, if you're looking for films that, like, are more part of, like, your childhood that, like, you wish you saw on the big screen again. Like, they do sometimes, like, series of older films. It's not always, like, new box office releases.
Nice.
And then the Norm. we're not playing anything new, really.
No.
We don't have access to the super new stuff yet.
Yeah.
So we're playing older stuff, which is super fun. Which is, like, how I got the chance to see, like, I don't know, like, they've played some older stuff. Like, what did we just see? In the Mood for Love.
In the Mood for Love.
You're not going to get the chance to just, like, see that on in a theater nowadays.
That's not gonna happen.
One I would really like to see in theaters, The Goonies.
Real.
Yeah. Random choice. I just decided, that'd be so fun to see with a crowded theater.
Oh, yeah. No, that would go crazy.
Anyway, that was kind of our chat. Go to your local theater.
Yeah.
Moral of the story.
Support local cinema.
Thanks for talking with us today. Again, this was The Real World. We'll never again be on a Wednesday at 9 p.m. Catch us Thursdays, 4 to 5, every other Thursday.
Yes.
I was Lily. And
I'm Emma.
I don't know why I was Lily.
Yeah.
I still am. I still am. Anyway, see you guys. We're back to maybe some ads.
Yeah.